So what is a Spartan death race? Is it as scary as it sounds? Let's find out.
Well, today we're welcoming back a friend, member of the Papa Bear Hikes family, Mustafa. Mustafa is doing something that, well, challenging, fun. Mustafa, welcome back to Papa Bear Hikes.
Hello, hello. Yes, thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited and looking forward to this.
It's great to see you again and hear from you. And of course, this is a podcast. Nobody can see this, but Mustafa's already physically getting ready for this. He's grown this nice big beard that looks like he's been out on the Appalachian Trail for 6 or 7 months. And so he's getting into shape for this. At least he's getting the look.
No, I was just going to comment. I'm modeling it after Tom Hanks and Castaway. That way when I start yelling out Wilson randomly during the race, they won't think they'll understand what's going on.
Mustafa, what you're doing this year is you're going to be participating in what is known as the Spartan Death Race. That's scary in itself, Spartan Death Race. And I did some research before the interview, and part of the challenge is they give you very few details of what exactly this race is.
Sure. Yeah. So the Spartan Death Race, it's supposed to be a, just one of their kind of like what they call peak races. They're extreme peak races. And it's a race that's kind of designed like no other race. It's not a traditional race in the sense of just running. It's definitely not like any other Spartan race that they host where they have obstacles and whatnot. You're definitely being challenged. You're being challenged physically. You're being challenged mentally. You're probably being challenged spiritually. But the obstacles are, or the challenges rather, they're unknown. They don't tell you what's coming. They don't tell you how long the race is going to take. They give you a start date, and they give you this is the day that you should get picked up on. You know, they don't tell you necessarily that the race is going to end by that certain day. So you really don't have much to go off of. And I think that's the whole kind of purpose behind this. It's to steal a line from CrossFit, it's the unknown and the unknowable. And that's really what you're being challenged to complete. And you're going against, typically, from what I've seen, the groups of participants are very small, because like you said, I mean, the name itself, the death race, is enough to turn people away. So you don't get but a small group of crazies, quote unquote crazies, right? Who want to go out there and test themselves both, you know, mentally and physically, just to kind of see what they're all about, see their ability to, or test out their ability to be resourceful, to complete challenges both individually, with a partner or with a team, and to see if they're going to survive out there, you know, in the middle of Vermont, where you're completely disconnected from the rest of the world. You're definitely removed. So it's not like you can run to the nearest bus stop and, you know, get away, or, you know, call an Uber to the nearest airport and fly away. I mean, there's really none of that. I think you go as long as you can go, and hopefully you make it the 70 plus hours of that you're out there for.
As I said, when I was researching this to prepare for the interview, what I could find is 70 hours. That's all they give you, unsupported. They tell you when it starts, but not when it ends. So when you say unsupported, yep, right, you're out there on your own. It's not like a lot of races, right? They have water stations, aid stations. You're on your own.
Yes, no, that's correct. I don't know if this is something new that they're going to be doing this summer, but I did receive an email telling me that I would be allowed to bring one crew member with me. But the crew member has very designated times and very designated locations where they can meet up and maybe provide you with some tools or whatever the case might be. They're definitely not there like the entire race, as I know some other ultra marathon races and whatnot, they allow you to have like an entire crew with you. They can drive next to you the entire race. That's definitely not the case here. Like you said, You're certainly out there on your own. We haven't been told yet if we're going to have access to our phones, if we're going to have internet access whatsoever. So I'm just kind of, you know, assuming the worst case scenario, which is I'm out there with my backpack and that's all I have.
Now, I'm familiar with the area you're going to in Vermont, and unless things have changed, and this is back in 2018, not much cell phone service out there. So even if you brought it, I'm not sure how much good it would do you. But it's certainly a beautiful place to be doing a race like this, but it's a terrain that could be very difficult and challenging.
Right. Yeah. So it's in the middle. Yeah. It's in the middle of Vermont. I would say maybe the nearest, I think Burlington might be like the closest major city, but the event itself is on a ranch in Pittsfield, Vermont, which is almost, you know, like border. It's kind of near the border. It's in the middle of Vermont, right in between New York and New Hampshire.
Yeah. It's pretty central up there. Yeah. But remote.
Yep.
Like most of Vermont is. Its biggest city is Burlington, which I think has 35,000 people in it.
Right. Yeah. So when they say the middle of nowhere, like they certainly mean it.
You participated in Spartan races before. Does this one intimidate you at all?
Yeah, I think it's funny. You know, before I was just kind of looking back at my Spartan profile. Just looking kind of at my, they keep like a historical record on there. And I think I've done over 30 Spartan races now, ranging from 5K all the way up to 50K, the ultra marathons. And, you know, to answer your question, am I intimidated by the death race? I think everybody should be intimidated. It's more so about your belief that you have enough knowledge and resourcefulness to get through it. I think if you're not intimidated, then we have a problem.
Yeah, you're probably underestimating what you're getting into.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and I think it's for a race like this one, I think an appropriate approach is to really not, like, there's not one thing that you can just focus on, right? It's really just a test of, you know, I mean this is just, again, I go back to the word resourcefulness, because you don't know what you have out there or who you're with. So it's really about your ability to adapt and use whatever is around you to get by and to complete these challenges.
Because this isn't like a 5K or your typical trail run. All right.
Right.
Let's tell us a little bit about, well, what you've participated in other Spartan races, as we've said, and you've been on here and we've talked about that. So just refresh us a little bit on what a Spartan race is.
Sure. Absolutely. So the Spartan race, and some folks might have heard of a similar race called the Tough Mudder, which the Spartan company acquired, I think, during the pandemic. So now they're part of the same company. But they fall under this category of races that's described as obstacle course racing. So it's basically a specific distance. And throughout that course, you have different obstacles that are scattered throughout. So imagine like a half marathon, right? You're running for about 13 miles and you have about 30 obstacles that are scattered throughout that 13 mile trail. The obstacles can be like a mile uphill climb at a 45 degree angle. It could be a wall that you have to jump over. It might be a 50 to 75 pound bucket that you have to carry on your shoulders. Or it could be a rope climb, right? So they vary, the obstacles or challenges really vary in nature, but that's more or less kind of what the basis of these obstacle course races is. It's not just, again, you're not just running for set distance. You're running, but then you're also testing your strength and your endurance through these obstacles.
Right. This is, you know, maybe it's the equivalent, or maybe you can be compared to CrossFit, to what CrossFit is to gym training, to what runners would do. I mean, if you're going to, I guess, it's more than just being able to run, but like you said, you have to be physically fit. You have to have the strength. Talking about climbing ropes, you have obstacles you need to get over.
Sure. Yeah, and that's, I think that's that's a good analogy too, you know, because I know in the CrossFit challenges or you know, like the their like annual test of fitness, right? They again, I used this phrase earlier, but they're tested on the unknown and unknowable. So again, it's not something that you can train for. It's not one challenge or one event or one obstacle that you need to change to train for. It's really kind of a whole body approach to training. I need to train everything, and I need to be able to do everything well, or I need to, you need to at least train in such a way that allows you to transfer those skills to whatever the challenge is, whatever it asks you to do.
That has to be tough to prepare for, I would imagine. If you're going to run a marathon, you know, okay, I've got to have a running regimen so that I can run
Yes.
X number. You know, I have to run this many miles a day and do this. But you have to not just be running, but you've got upper body strength. You know, you got to carry a 5 gallon bucket filled with stuff. Because I've seen a couple of YouTubes on this, right? It's not, you're not carrying an empty 5 gallon bucket and you're not walking on a flat, straight path with it. Tell
Yes.
us a little bit about how you go about training for these Spartan races.
Sure, absolutely. You know, for the longest time, you know, my background was in training, training in CrossFit, but as I started kind of running, doing those longer distance runs, you know, I realized that I wasn't getting exposed to enough running, or climbing really, through my CrossFit training. So that was something that I had to modify. You know, I was able to get by, you know, if I was doing CrossFit, primarily as my training, I can get by and do like a 5K or 10K. But as soon as I would bump it up to like a half marathon or the 50K ultra, that's when I would just crash. You know, again, I wasn't, your body's just not exposed to that much mileage, right? So like the foundation is still there. I wouldn't say that it's like I'm no longer just doing primarily CrossFit. It's a combination of strength training, you know, heavy resistance training. I do some Olympic weightlifting, and then I've had to also incorporate like a dedicated running program on top of that. So I'm actually, even though I'm signed up for the death race coming up at the end of June, I'm also in training for another 50K in November. And that was actually supposed to originally be in August. A group of friends of mine and I, we were going to go run the 50K Ultra Spartan race over in Hawaii, but for whatever reason they couldn't secure the venue, so they ended up canceling that race. So we decided that we're going to be doing the 50K in November in Fiji. So I think just having that training regimen or plan kind of coincide with what I'm currently doing is going to be, in terms of like strength and endurance, I think it's going to take care of that part in training for the upcoming death race.
So you've traveled all over the place to participate in these races. That's pretty cool. But now I want to ask you that you're going to Vermont for the Spartan Death Race. What's motivated you to want to compete in the race?
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
That's a really good question too. You know, I've been wanting to do it for several years now. And you know, I think I've just been attracted to these types of races, you know, for as long as, you know, I've been an athlete. I mean, there's a reason why you go from a 5K to a 50K. You know, it's kind of like that quote unquote gateway drug, right? You do a 5K and then you conquer the 5K and then you think, okay, well, what's a little bit more challenging than that? Well, okay, well, let me go try the 10K. And then, you know, that leads to the half marathon, and then that leads to the 50K. And then you've done the 50K now, and as brutal as that race is, you still kind of want to maybe challenge yourself and see what's next, right? What's a little bit more challenging than the 50K? Because, you know, as I mentioned, I'm still going to be running another 50K, so because those in and of themselves are challenging, those are grueling. Except now, the difference here is that unknown and unknowable component. I don't know what the distance will be. I don't know what the obstacles or challenges will be. I don't know what the time component will be, right? So now it's almost like you're having to complete this just completely blind. You're going in blind, right? So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. You know, the entire reason that I got into Spartan racing in the first place was just kind of a good, it was for me a good measure of my overall fitness and my training. It was almost like a benchmark test for me, right? And I think now going into the death race, it's going to be, you know, it's going to test just my resourcefulness, my ability to adapt and overcome to whatever challenges are thrown my way, right? Things that you couldn't have trained for, right? You just have to have, you know, had to have sufficient enough or a well-rounded enough training regimen that you were able to learn on the spot and get through that challenge.
Now, I know everybody goes into these challenges wanting to finish. It's like when I hike a trail, you know, everybody goes on a trail wanting to finish it. It doesn't always work out that way. So, and from what I read with this trail, they're preparing you for that, for this race. They're preparing you for that. You might not finish, you might not complete it. What I'm thinking is you want to get everything out of this that you can.
Yes, no, absolutely. You know, I think they were saying that 20% or less actually end up finishing the race. I want to say they had upwards of 40 participants. Don't quote me on that number. But when you think about that, I mean, you're looking at the person to the left and right of you, and you're like, you know, one of us, only one of us might make it, right? Might make it. So I'm not going in with, I'm really not going in expecting anything. I think for me, like the mindset that I'm kind of adopting going into this is the fact to me I've already succeeded, you know, in terms of signing up for the race, right? My next challenge is okay, get to the race. All right. So I have these kind of milestones, and regardless of how the end result, regardless of the end result, I think I will have accomplished what I set out to do on this first kind of go, this first go with the race, you know. And I think if I end up standing in the end, that'll just kind of be almost like a consequence, you know, of being there in maybe right time, right place.
But only 40 people, 40 people participating. Being able to do to get to do even a part of it has to
Right.
it's going to have to feel rewarding though, right? I mean, to say, you know, of course you want to finish, but to say, look, I was out there. I was one of these people that attempted this, that tried to do it.
Yes. No, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, it's kind of it's akin to trying out for, you know, something like Navy, not to compare this to Navy SEAL training by any means, but it's just kind of, to me, it strikes a resemblance where, like, okay, you got this group of folks who are going to go out there, and you know, maybe one, two, five of them might make it, right? It's a very, the thing about it too is, from what I understand, it's really not so much about you out. I mean, I could be very wrong about this, but I don't think it's necessarily about outperforming the other racers. I think it's just your ability to reach the end of the race, right? So, in theory, all the participants could finish, right? And I think that kind of introduces a different element, because it's really not, you can't even lean on, or you can't use that excuse that, well, I got beat by somebody else, because they had plenty of room for everybody. It's I got beat by myself, and now I know what I need to work on for next time.
Yeah, this race is in July. It's July, I believe, the 20th to the 24th or 21st to the 24th. And all the information's on their website. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I think they just decided they're going to be doing it end of June. So June 30th up until right before the 4th of July. So it should not last more, or it should not last longer than July 3rd.
I may have been looking at some older information, but you go to their website and the information's on there. And anybody who wants to register, you can go to the website, Spartan Death Race. You just type that in and it'll bring you to their website. That's all I had to do to get there. And be prepared, because what I saw as soon as it came up was this guy, shirtless guy with a backpack with a big scratch across his face.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's definitely living up to its name. I like that that's the case, because I think folks will go on there and immediately turn back around and say, no, never mind. I will also mention that they do this race twice a year, and from what I understand, no two races are alike, but the summer race is completely different beast than the winter race. And I think that, so, I mean, I... Even if I were to end up, as one of the finishers of the summer race, I would still, in the back of my mind, think, well, it wasn't the winter race, you may have finished this race, but somebody else finished the winter race, right? And I've seen those guys walking around, their beards are all frozen and whatnot. So
yeah. I could tell you from experience, Mustafa, I did the Catskill 3500 peaks in the summer, or the other three seasons, and did one in the winter. And it was like, okay, now I've got to go back and do them all in the winter. So I'll give you a little warning there. You might find yourself saying, I have to now come back and do this in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. I would definitely, we'll see how this first one goes. Like I said, the next step is going to be to make it to Vermont and then take it from there. But I'm definitely excited. I'm very enthusiastic about it. It's going to be something new that I haven't gotten to do before. A lot of these races, I was exposed to them, or I discovered them, I should say, while I was in the military. So I didn't get, I couldn't get away from my responsibilities and my duties at the time. But I think now that I'm out and I'm able to commit a little bit more, I'm just kind of now going back and rediscovering these races that I put off for so long, and seeing what they have to offer.
Yeah, and I can sense some excitement as we go on through this interview that you're excited. I mean, there's a certain amount, like you said in the beginning, you're a little nervous about it, which you should be, but you're also excited to get in to do something so exciting and new, something you've never done before.
Yes, 100%. Yep. And I think it's just, continuing with the training and, I don't want to say like, train to fail, but, being prepared for it. I mean, I think at the end of the day, failure is your biggest teacher, right? So there'll be another race and another one after that and another one after that. And I still have my 50K in November that I'm training for. And that's, should be a fun time. That's taking place in Fiji. I've never been there. So, I have plenty to look forward to with the Spartan races. I've been doing about one or two each month so far. I just finished one last weekend. It was in San Diego. That one, I did it with a friend. We both did the 5K together. Next month, they're bringing the races to Big Bear Mountain, which is not too far from where I live. So, there will be a 10K there, and then on Saturday, and then I'll be doing the 5K on Sunday as well. So that should be another pretty fun challenge.
And these are all Spartan races?
Yep. These are all Spartan races. Yeah, I did a Tough Mudder last month with a big group of friends of mine, and we enjoyed that one. We enjoyed that one a lot. But I think the main difference between Tough Mudder and Spartan Race is Tough Mudder tends to be a little bit more community based. So some of the obstacles, you actually have to help each other out to get through them. Whereas the Spartan Race, most of the obstacles, I think, since I've been doing it, all the obstacles can be done individually.
And you've got a lot to be excited about. But you talked about going to Fiji to participate in one of these. Your first time going to Fiji. How excited are you about that?
Yeah. I mean, so that race was, again, we were supposed to originally run the August race in Hawaii. And because I ran that race last year in Hawaii and had a great time. So we were supposed to do that one again this year, but it got canceled for whatever reason. They couldn't secure the venue. So we were looking at the rest of the year and the schedule, and we saw there was one in Fiji, and we all said, why not? That sounds like a great place to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're certainly excited for that one. And I also like the fact that it's in November rather than August, because it gives me a little bit more time to prep.
You say we have a group of friends that you train with and travel with to go to these races?
Yes, some of the races. I have a group of friends. So the Spartan race series, they offer this challenge. It's called the Trifecta Challenge. And what you have to do is complete three distances within one calendar year. So you have to complete a 5K, you have to complete a 10K, and you have to complete either the half marathon or the 50K as your third race. And if you complete all three, then you've completed the trifecta and you're awarded with like a trifecta medal. So I have a group of friends who are chasing the trifecta this year. So I personally will do about one or two races a month. I don't always have folks who run with me, but this group of friends, they want to do three races for the year to complete their trifecta. So for all of them, they'll be going to Fiji to do the 50K run or the half marathon to fulfill that long distance requirement.
And I ask that because I think that if you have friends you're doing it with, a group of people, it has to help motivate you, right? Because you got those days where you don't feel like getting out of bed and training. But if you've got people doing it with you, kind of gives you that reason that, okay, I better go do this. There's people depending on me or people counting on me. That has to help you with your training.
Oh, absolutely. No, I've definitely been much more committed to my running program this year as I've ever been. And it's purely because I have folks who are holding me accountable. And, I have one of my friends in particular, you know, they'll message me every week and they'll say, okay, what are our distances for the week? Which days are we doing them on? So they're definitely holding me accountable. I have another buddy. So I tend to throw in some Stairmaster training into my regiment because I find that it helps a lot with just climbing in general. Another friend of mine, he did a 1 hour challenge with me on the Stairmaster today. And I probably would have fallen off, you know, had I done it by myself, but, you know, it was just fun to have that kind of camaraderie.
It's tough when you only have to be accountable to yourself. I think it's easy for us to talk ourselves into saying, I'm just not feeling that great today. I deserve a day off.
Right. Or just put it off for any number of reasons. Like I'll do it tomorrow or, you know, Friday. I'll have plenty of time then.
Well, Mustafa, this is great that you're doing this. I'm excited for you. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this with us. I have one request, though, before we finish up. Will you come on after you finish a race, sometime after you finish a race, and tell us how it was?
Yes, 100% yes. And if you want, I'll even hop on my phone right after the race, and you can get me while everything is fresh to memory, depending on how coherent I am at the time.
And the dates might work out because what I thought the dates were, I would have been coming back from the Adirondacks, but that might work out. Hey, I'm always looking for an excuse to go to Vermont. I may even just meet you in the parking lot and do an on-the-spot interview.
Yeah, it'll be your first live interview.
Exactly.
No, but I appreciate you bringing me on again. And like I said, I definitely look forward to the race. And we'll definitely come back after the race and tell you how it all went down. And We'll decide then if the winter is in my future or not.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.